Leader Rita, you are recognized to present House Bill 4712. I want to say thank you to Madam Comptroller for being flexible. I know we tried to get this scheduled a couple times. I'm glad that you're able to be present today. I see David Doak, who I haven't seen since my days at the City of Chicago, so I know he has some testimony about this. But I'll kick it off with Leader Rita, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. At a committee, we got House Bill 4712, and it deals with TIF districts, and it does basically three things, and we'll hear from the Comptroller and David and digging a little deeper dive, but it caps the surplus distributions to 5% of the total fund balances. It also it creates a, after the 23 years of initial TIF, that surpluses couldn't be used until it's completed. And it also puts a restriction of surpluses to be used every 10 years. And this is dealing with TIF money that has been accumulated in TIF districts, whether it's after a development has been done or a development hasn't been done or during the development, to keep TIF money to be used what it was initially intended to do is for development, infrastructure, and improvements in municipalities. I'd be happy to turn it over to our Comptroller for her testimony and David after that.
Sorry. Thank you, Leader Rita, and thank you, Chairman Tarver. Good morning, everyone. Minority spokesperson.
I'm sorry, Madam Clerk.
So sorry.
Clerk, excuse me, not Clerk, Comptroller.
It's okay.
Is this your staff?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yes,
I didn't know
yes.
Who was recording. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, thank you again, Leader Rita, and thank you, Chairman Tarver, Minority Spokesman Sosnowski, and members of the committee for the opportunity to present House Bill 4712, sponsored by Rep. Rita and Senator Cunningham. He's introduced a companion bill in the Senate. Now, this bill aims to get cities back to using tax increment financing for the purpose this body intended when legislators created the program, helping revitalize blighted communities. While I realize this is a subject matter hearing on the legislation, I hope it is included among the other TIF reform ideas that may be in consideration before the end of this spring session. I have with me today David Doak, President of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, a mission-driven real estate development company that seeks to revitalize Chicago's low to moderate income neighborhoods and create jobs by developing high-impact projects, providing financial resources to entrepreneurs and nonprofits, and sustaining long-term community partnerships. David and I first got to know each other at the Chicago Planning and Development Department, where we worked together some 25 years ago on long-range planning for the city that included the creation of several TIFs. We both strongly believe in TIFs as a tool for economically strengthening communities, municipalities, when they're used properly. And that's the key, when they're used properly. Under the original legislative declaration of the Tax Increment Allocation Redevelopment Act, when it became law over 65 years ago, TIFs are intended to revitalize under-resourced neighborhoods where development would be less likely to occur if not for the TIF. By design, TIFs are a catalyst for development of all kinds of large and small businesses to move into economically challenged neighborhoods and improve or build new commercial, public, or residential properties. By encouraging businesses and residents to make the community home, TIFs help to strengthen the local sales and property tax base that can help to lessen the overall property tax burden on residential property owners beyond the TIF over the long term. As I said, if it's done right. Unfortunately, despite successful TIF districts bringing communities back to life, I am gravely concerned about the use of TIF surpluses to fill revenue shortfalls far beyond the TIF district boundaries, which undermines the intended purpose of establishing TIF districts. As Leader Rita stated, the legislation limits surplus sweeps to once every 10 years and caps the amount that can be taken to 5%. The idea is by limiting the use of TIF surpluses to fill operations budget gaps for local government entities, we can better keep the focus of TIF funds on investing in the economic, commercial, and public infrastructure of the neighborhoods and communities that they were created for and that need those dollars the most. It does not completely prohibit the declaration and distribution of surplus TIF funds, allowing such action to be taken in a limited capacity if needed. I believe there are multiple problems with reallocating TIF funds away from the TIF itself through declaring surpluses that then redirect funds to other taxing bodies, and in some cases are used to basically fill gaps in operating budgets. Number one, raiding TIF funds, even if there is a surplus, is taking away from the neighborhoods that they're supposed to benefit. That money should be used for things like new or revitalized commercial space, grocery stores, and vital infrastructure, not for city or other public entity operating expenses. Number two, using TIF funds for operational needs only masks underlying fiscal problems, preventing a clear picture of a city or other taxing district's true financial stability. Number three, as we've all seen, short-term fixes to budget problems never end well. Municipalities should not be using duct tape to plug budget holes, especially when that money won't be available in future years. And let me be clear, when those TIF funds are surplus and swept, they are gone forever. It's vital that money be safeguarded for its intended purpose. Taking the example of Chicago, in this year alone, the city declared over $1 billion surplus across many TIFs, including in the districts of members of this committee. That's money the residents of Inglewood, Austin, and other challenged neighborhoods paid in good faith for redevelopment that will now be redistributed across the city and Cook County, not in their neighborhoods. Raiding TIF funds is a very inefficient way for cities to plug budget holes. The city of Chicago only kept $230 million of that $1 billion money grab from neighborhood TIFs. Tens of millions of that money went to taxing bodies that didn't even ask for it. Countywide taxing bodies can now spend that Inglewood and Austin money in well-to-do suburbs. This General Assembly established the PTEL, Property Tax Extension Limitation Law, as a safeguard for taxpayers that require school boards to get voter approval for any tax hikes of over roughly 5%. Chicago Public Schools did that, raising taxes $25 million, the maximum allowed. But the city's TIF raid allowed the schools to do an end run around those guardrails that you put in place. They got themselves a $550 million one-time cash infusion from taxpayers above the $25 million hike they'd already approved without going to referendum to get voter approval. There need to be guardrails around the use of any surpluses so that neighborhoods are not denied funds specifically designated for various improvements, robbing that area of the opportunity for a more prosperous future. There's a canard being floated that this bill will mean less money for schools. Exactly the opposite. This legislation stops mayors from emptying the TIF funds that should remain in the neighborhoods to help schools in those neighborhoods for infrastructure and other needs. Raiding TIFs to get 50 cents on the dollar for unspecified random education projects is not in any student's long-term interests. Lastly, while not in the original version, House Bill 4712, I would suggest amending it to include additional reporting requirements on TIFs to the Comptroller's Office that include financial details as they relate to the use of surpluses, the amounts and percentages that go to each local government taxing district in the TIF, and a written explanation for why it is needed. This step builds upon reporting reforms that I sought in 2019 that added reporting of debt service and a requirement to identify the return on investment and job creation for each TIF district. That legislation did, in fact, pass. Transparency has been the hallmark of my administration, and I have long pushed for reforms to ensure the public knows exactly where their tax dollars are going, how the government spends money, and whether those expenditures are successful. I believe the Comptroller's Office should be the central repository of information, of TIF information for the public, education groups, taxpayers, and public policymakers like yourselves. Making surpluses an additional reporting requirement is essential in providing greater transparency and accountability. Thank you again for giving me an opportunity to discuss this important issue with you all this morning. And now, with your approval, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Mr. David Doig to provide comment. David is the premier subject matter expert on TIFs. There's no one who knows this better. Mr. Doig has a wealth of knowledge and experience in how TIFs have been successful and where there's opportunity for improvement to ensure that they're achieving their commendable goals. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present for you today.
Absolutely, Madam Comptroller. Now, David, I'm not going to give you the leeway I gave her as far as length of testimony, of course, but we know that you know this inside and out. And I want to take a chance to publicly thank you for your help with Project Tiger on the Quantum site, which is in my district. Since I haven't seen you in a while, I want to say thank you. It's been incredibly helpful. So please, by all means, go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Comptroller Mendoza, for your leadership on this important issue of tax increment financing reform. In the past 10 years, from 2017 to 2026, the City of Chicago has surplused $4 billion from funds in tax increment financing districts, culminating last year, as the Comptroller mentioned, in the largest TIF sweep in the City of Chicago's history at over $1 billion. This is despite the fact that the number of TIFs in Chicago has actually decreased. It decreased from 163 in 2011 to 108 today. In fact, today, Chicago is surplusing more TIF funds than it's actually deploying. That's correct. Last year, the city took in $1.5 billion of TIF across the city. It surplused $1 billion. Two of every $3 in TIF funds were diverted back to the city and the taxing bodies for operating expenses. This is clearly an abuse of TIF and violates the intent of the legislature and state lawmakers that created TIFs in 1977. Illinois has 1,488 active tax increment financing districts across 511 municipalities. Chicago is the only municipality that has consistently taken TIF revenue out of its TIF districts to cover operating expenses. Tax increment financing is fundamentally an economic development tool that allows municipalities to capture growth in property tax revenues generated within a redevelopment area to reinvest those revenues to pay for redevelopment-related costs within a designated district. As a general rule, TIFs across the state, and specifically in Chicago, have worked well as intended. Hundreds of thousands of jobs have been created, thousands of new affordable homes have been built, dozens of new community centers, miles of roadways and bridges have been built and restored, and hundreds of new schools, libraries, police stations have been built. In Chicago, 70% of the TIF funds have been spent on public improvements, and 30 have been spent on private development projects. Most importantly, TIF has been a source for real estate growth, real estate tax growth. In Chicago, over the past 10 years, there has been a 190% increase in EAV in TIF districts, while in non-TIF district areas, the growth has been 123%. So that's more than 35% growth in TIF districts as opposed to non-TIF areas. In Chicago, the TIF tool is working as it was created to provide jobs, economic development, and growing the real estate tax base. I'll give you a few examples of successful TIFs. So in the Chicago Central Loop TIF, which was created in 1985, when people and businesses were fleeing Chicago, the Central Loop generated almost $1 billion in TIF over the full 23-year increment, life of the increment. Those funds were used for creation of, I think, things that we all recognize, like the successful Chicago Downtown Theater District, Block 37, and probably most notably, Millennium Park. Yes, Millennium Park was built using TIF funds. When that TIF expired in 2008, it immediately resulted in a $500 million real estate tax benefit to the taxing body. So $500 million was the growth in the increment over that 23-year period. The Chicago Stockyard Industrial TIF, which, the stockyards closed in the 1970s, were vacant for over 20 years. In 1989, the City of Chicago designated the stockyards a TIF district, and that has leveraged over $100 million in private investment and created over 4,000 new jobs. And then finally, the TIF that I'm most familiar with in Pullman, You know, we've created, since 2009, we've developed over 200 acres of former brownfield site that was owned by Ryerson Steel. We've used over $50 million to build new roads, complete environmental remediation, develop infrastructure supporting new development. The TIF has leveraged over $500 million in new private investment, including a new Walmart, Method Soap Factory, S.E. Johnson Distribution, Gotham Greens, Whole Foods, and Amazon. In North Pullman, our TIF alone has created over 3,000 new jobs, and the annual real estate taxes from the district, from the TIF district, have gone from less than $500,000 to over $500 million, from less than $500,000 to over $5 million. These are examples from the city of Chicago where TIF has worked as intended. Real estate tax revenue in the TIF district is spurring new development and public investments. Surplusing TIF is a self-defeating policy. We are literally eating our seed corn. Mm-hmm. It takes money, much-needed money, out of disinvested communities that need investment to improve. It diverts capital resources needed to build infrastructure and capital development to fund operating expenses. It's not sustainable as TIFs begin to expire. It fails.
All right,
to
I gotta cut you off. My vice chair is telling me it's time, so I'm really gonna be in trouble. So there'll be plenty of time for questions, I'm sure.
That concludes my statement.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah. Lita Rita, I'm going to ask you to scoot over if you don't mind, because I know that John Arena is here from the city of Chicago, and I believe they slipped in oral opposition. So, Mr. Spokes, I have, in as far as proponents, I have David Doig, obviously Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, Office of the Comptroller, Mothers Opposed to Violence Everywhere. Looks like local 150, operating engineers. I have the municipal, I see Brad here. I see the Municipal League. I have you down as proponent and opponent under different names. So I'm going to get, no, I'm sorry, proponent and no position. So I'm going to give you all the opportunity if you want to clarify for us what your position is. You want to just step up and just, I mean, you don't have to testify. I wanted to know because we have it both ways.
I submitted for oral, Mr.
Chairman. Oh, you did submit for oral. I apologize. Okay. Why don't you approach the table as well? Just pull up a chair and we'll be good. So we'll go with Mr. Arena and then Mr. Cole, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you, Leader Tarver, Vice Chair Mayfield, Spokesperson Sazanowski. I'm John Arena, for the record, Director of State IGA for the City of Chicago. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning concerning HB 4712. 4712 attempts to address a concern that may exist for some municipalities, but would produce an unwelcome outcome for the City of Chicago and the taxpayers. As presented, the bill takes away the city's autonomy to determine the highest and best use of locally generated property tax revenues by capping surpluses to 5% every 10 years. HB 4712 takes away the local jurisdiction's ability to manage cash flow, consider factors such as the capacity to spur economic development, and would deprive taxing districts of available revenue that would otherwise sit stagnant with no identified prospective use. According to the report from the Cook County Clerk, Monica Gordon, tax increment financing districts in Cook County generated a record $2 billion in revenue in the 2024 tax year.
Are you talking about Cook County or the City of Chicago?
So that was Cook County, and I'm making a contrast. Gotcha. Thank you. Of that amount, Chicago's TIFs generated $1.59
billion.
Take it from here. Projecting out, if Chicago were barred from surplusing for just 5 years, we would amass between $5 and $7 billion in our accounts. This is despite the city having fewer TIF districts, as had been pointed out, than it did 10 years ago. In 2024, TIFs collected 17% more in property revenues year over year. Without the ability to surplus, that increasing property tax revenue would just sit while taxing district budgets increase every year. This would deprive local taxing bodies of revenues that they could otherwise use to address budget shortfalls, infrastructure needs, and programming taxpayers rely on. For Chicago, that is a terrible limitation on revenue management. The bill would result in tax increases, service cuts, or both for schools, parks, and other taxing bodies. For decades, advocates for financial experts recommended adhering to the state statute and surplus unencumbered funds. Those calls continue. And I just want to emphasize, the current state statute requires that TIF districts surplus unencumbered funds. In its 2024 report, the Civic Federation noted that the city should increase its available TIF surpluses. The city's Financial Futures Task Force recommended in their 2025 interim report that the city maximize its TIF surplus to balance budgets. And that is what the current administration has done. In fiscal year 2025, has been pointed out, $712 million. In 2026, the surplus was $1 billion. Most of those funds, approximately 54%, went to Chicago Public Schools, which has a budget shortfall, with funds also going to the Chicago Park District, City Colleges, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, and libraries. Approximately 2024 was distributed to the Chicago General Fund. In fiscal year 2026, that amounted to about $250 million that helped offset a budget deficit caused by the sunset of federal ARPA funds. Despite despite these record surpluses, Chicago has invested hundreds of millions of dollars in schools, parks, workforce development, affordable housing, small business, and infrastructure. Affordable housing projects such as the Avenue in Humboldt Park, the Thrive Exchange in South Shore, are recent projects funded with TIF dollars. TIF funds roads, sidewalks, lighting, trees across the south and west side. If it funded school playgrounds in West Garfield Park. Programs such as TIF Works, small business improvement funds, and neighborhood improvement programs were funded by TIF in every corner of the city. All of this and more was funded with TIF as seed money. TIFs are a creature of both state and local law at both creation and extension. The state does have a role in overseeing TIF expenditures. The state audits the financials within TIFs to ensure no fraud, waste, or abuse or ineligible uses occur. And this is and should be the state's role. The state should be should allow local decision makers to determine the local use and activity within the TIFs themselves, including when to issue surpluses as state law currently sits. Chicago's ask is this: do not take away a readily available tool for local elected officials to appropriately balance priorities in the best interest of the taxpayers whose dollars they are entrusted with. If the concern for smaller localities seeking to build reserves in their TIFs, current law allows for that. Cities can encumber funding for future projects and let TIFs rebuild. But I am not here to dictate and what is appropriate for those municipalities. If the approach established in 4712 is deemed to be of use to municipalities across the state, our ask is to amend 4712 with language that exempts municipalities over 1 million residents. In Illinois, there is only one. Thank you, and I'm happy to take your questions.
Mr. Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and good morning, Madam Comptroller. Leader Rita, I'm Brad Cole, CEO of the Illinois Municipal League. Here, actually, to clarify your point, Mr. Chairman, about our position. So we are testifying today, no position on the merits of this, because we represent the 1,294 cities, villages, and towns in Illinois. Now, there's a little bit of a discrepancy, not an argument or disagreement, with the number of TIF districts. Our records indicate 1,506 in 537 different municipalities. This is partly due to some of the lack of or need for improvement in reporting, so we appreciate that. So that's not a conflicting comment, it's just there's a little bit of discrepancy. And of those 537 or so communities, there's obviously a difference between the municipal authorities, and particularly with regard to authority over other taxing bodies and within budgetary practices. And so we've just heard from the city of Chicago that opposes this legislation, which we recognize, and we support their opposition to this. The remaining municipalities that have TIF districts would likely support this legislation, and we support their position. in this. So in this case, the Municipal League is standing firmly or walking a very thin line. Yeah, that for the largest municipality, this does not represent their best interest because of their unique taxing body authority over other entities and budgetary practices, while it would support the other municipalities in the state. So I wanted to just clarify that we're on both sides, if you will, or right squarely in the middle. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, I'm going to go to questions. I have a couple first, just based on the testimony of Mr. Arena. You mentioned that this bill would limit economic development in the city of Chicago. So just based on, I want you to be specific to the TIF sweeps that they're talking about for the last couple of years. What economic development is specifically tied to, first tell me the percentage of the TIF the city of Chicago was able to keep, and then what specific projects were tied to that. I will caution you about the Thrive project that you mentioned, because that's in my district. I'm very well aware of that, and it wasn't that the sweep put that project over the top. I know Mr. Walker very well. I know that project very well. I know Alderman Mitchell very well. It was not the TIF sweep. And I'm trying, and just to give you a little bit of a flavor of my word for today, of what I'm trying to understand is, you all swept the TIFs, and then you issued over $1 billion in bonds for development. So on one side of you swept the TIF, the money went to CPS, the city got a small percentage of it. I want to hear about that economic development. I want to understand the rationale between that and then issuing bonds that taxpayers for Chicago have to now pay for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years to do the same exact thing that TIF does. If you could walk me through that, that'd be helpful.
So first, I just want to clarify, our position is that the sweep isn't what spurred the economic development. It's the actual use of TIFs in TIF districts.
Right.
That.
But you cited TIF as a benefit for Thrive, and maybe I misheard you. So we understand.
I want to clarify.
Yeah,
I think we understand.
We understand. The purpose is economic development. I think that's why the sponsor of the bill was bringing up the point that a lot of this money went to CPS. And so what we're trying to understand is, what was the specific, you swept the TIFs, city got money. So was it the operating budget that you plugged? Maybe I missed the testimony. Just help me out, because I'm missing something.
Reset. I think our argument is that we did sweep money that does return to the taxing bodies, which is where it would go had the TIF never been created. Okay. Despite doing those sweeps, we are still doing investment using TIFs within the TIF boundaries as it's intended. So that project had some TIF money.
And thank you. I don't want to cut you off, but that clarifies one of my questions. Thank you.
Can I just offer one other thing? Because you brought up the green social housing, which is, I believe, what you're referencing, the bonding authority that was created under that program. Is that what you're referring to when you talk about bonding?
I'm trying to understand it all, because when I talk about the Quantum site and the administration talks about it as a development, the city of Chicago put in $5 million of housing bonds. I believe the state all in is at about $640 million or so between the state and the feds. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about, again, these tools for development, I'm just not adding up where the city's actually been as helpful as you're professing. But again, whether it's the green, social, whatever it is, I remember this as an initiative under Mayor Lightfoot's administration, mm-hmm. just like NOF, which I know there's been credit taken for, was under Mayor Emanuel's administration, and then under Lori Lightfoot. So I'm just trying to understand again how these TIFs are being used, mm-hmm. and what has been done since the TIFs have been swept, besides the seemingly overwhelming majority going out to the taxing districts, to your point, which is where they would have went when they expired anyway.
So I think what we have here is a system that has many purposes. The challenge with TIFs, and this is my experience as an alderman, where we had TIFs in my district, the challenge is TIF money can only be used within the boundaries of those defined TIFs. There is some porting, but there are large swaths of the city, about a third of the city, that is not under a TIF. The challenge with just using TIFs and saying only those boundaries as defined are the places where you can spend this mass of money. And I think the very point is Chicago is unique in this matter. speaking to Brad Cole about this when the bill was first introduced, I got an understanding of municipalities without multiple taxing bodies have very limited ways to generate and amass this money for economic development. It is the exact opposite in Chicago. We, as seen and as testified by the opposition, as well as ourselves, the collections are up. They're up so high that there is no way to create enough projects and get them done. And that is, and so it's the sweep as the state had intended when it was created. I fought for years with the Emanuel administration to increase sweeps so money could go to taxing bodies, including the city's general revenue. For example, during the entirety, during the entirety of the Emanuel administration, $1.2 billion was swept. That's 8 years. In 2013, the year after he decided to close schools, only $20 million was swept. Now, this
you're getting a little bit beyond my, this is helpful, but you're getting a little bit beyond my question. I'm actually going to wrap this up so I can go, go ahead. So I'm going to the next one.
So I just wanted to point out that it's a tool. As we all know, this is a tool that has many ways to use it. Sweeping is a tool to help close budget gaps for our schools without doing layoffs or increasing property taxes to backfill if we are barred from using money that is readily available. And I'm sorry to contradict, this money regenerates every year, as the reports show. It is not, yes, when it's swept, it goes to the taxing bodies, and then the next year we collect just as much, if not more.
Understood. So let me ask you this. How much, those bonds that you mentioned, how much does that cost City of Chicago taxpayers over the life of the bond? Because I want to see if I can understand the juxtaposition between declaring that sweep on the TIFs and what economic development within that area could have been versus the total cost to all Chicago taxpayers who are not a part of that TIF area, right, for the bonds that you, not you individually, obviously, the City of Chicago issue. Can you walk me through that, please?
So if you're referencing the green social housing.
How many billion-dollar plus bonds have been issued by the City of Chicago for housing, whatever that is, in the last couple of years? That's what I'm asking about.
Apologies. That's not a number I have available, but I'm happy to get that to you and provide it through the chair.
Okay. Do you believe it's been more than $1 billion plus set of bonds issued for housing in the last couple of years?
That I'm aware of, the only authority the Chicago has for $1 billion plus is through the green social housing. $1 billion has not been offered yet. It is the authority. So that is not money that is out on the street.
Okay.
That is a rolling program of equity building it through affordable housing and not the subject matter here. But I just want to be clear.
That's helpful. I'm sorry, madam. I've been asking questions. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, to that specific question, there was a $1.8 billion bond that was let out where the first 2 years there was no payment. The next 18 years were structured for interest-only payments. It's like our update of the parking meter deal. That was that bad of a deal.
And I'm just trying to understand what the actual cost is for taxpayers, and I don't know why I can't get an answer to that.
It's going to be billions, so it'll be like $2 billion to borrow that, just in interest. And then on top of that, the city got a credit downgrade. And that very next day went before council to ask for another $850 million more. So this is not a strong suit for the administration, unfortunately. And with all due respect, to just make, you know, a declaration that this money is just not being utilized and that's why we should sweep it. The whole purpose of these funds is to utilize this for economic development. So the thought that we can't build, if you've ever driven through Inglewood, all you're going to see is vacant lots after vacant lots, boarded up houses. That is not fair to the people of Inglewood. And it's because of a $10 million TIF investment at the old Inglewood Square facility where it used to be the Sears and Roebuck that left. 40 years later, there was still nothing there until $10 million in TIF funds leveraged $50 million in private investment. That's exactly what we need to see happening in all of these areas. But if you were to take those TIF dollars, which are precious, in those communities who need them the most, and spend them for operating expenses, those communities are going to continue to look the way they've looked, neglected, abandoned, forgotten for decades to come. And the last point I want to make is it's so financially irresponsible to take TIF dollars out of a TIF and then act as if we're doing a good thing. Like, for example, the other day there was an announcement that, you know, certain park districts, I was at one when this announcement was made, was, you know, we're going to fix this part of the park district with the TIF sweeps that we took. It wasn't even in that TIF. So once you take a TIF dollar out of the TIF that it was originally intended for, if you invest it in the TIF, you get a full dollar's worth of investment. If you take that dollar out of the TIF, you know how much the public parks get? 7 cents on the dollar. So it is embarrassing to actually boast that we're spending 7 cents worth of what we could have been spending a whole dollar's worth of investments by essentially using TIFs at what has now become a slush fund for the city of Chicago. It's just not right.
I obviously have to give you a chance to respond to that. And I have one final question, and then I'll go to members.
I think it's important to clarify that when there is a program and a policy that even under Emanuel and Lightford and this administration, that TIFs are not swept to zero. And some TIFs do not have an increment. And a lot of those TIFs are in underserved neighborhoods that the TIF was created either at a time when the EVA was high and then never generated any revenue. And the challenge is because the boundaries limit where you can spend that money, the entire neighborhood of Inglewood is not under a TIF. That means that that money is not fungible and can only be used within the boundaries. By sweeping, we give the city general fund, as well as those schools in those neighborhoods that may not be in a TIF, the opportunity to access those funds. So it is not an either or. We do not, there is a limit to how much sweep comes from each TIF based on how it increments. Downtown TIF is generally the largest supplier of that sweep because that's where the EVA has gone up the
so
highest.
I'll come to you, David. One thing that I think that would be helpful for the committee in general, maybe this is a staff thing, I apologize. Both sides are referencing what the intent of TIF was initially, and we probably should actually dig up some of the old legislative history and get a better understanding. And that's not a knock on either side of the argument. This is probably a little bit, oh, I'm sorry, David, go ahead, and then final question.
I was just gonna say three things. So this is a TIF map of the west side of Chicago. Everything in blue is TIFed. It's 80% of the entire west side of Chicago is TIFed. So to say that we're limited to the boundaries, yeah, we're limited to the west side.
Yeah. But where is the increment generated?
Okay, so that's point one.
You can't just show the map and say where the increment is generated.
I feel like a mediator. We gotta not talk over one another.
So the other thing that, and I think people miss this, when TIFs are created, you're making a 23-year promise to a neighborhood. A 23-year promise that you're going to implement a plan. Every one of these TIFs has a plan that has been adopted by City Council, that's been part of the ordinance, it's part of the public record. You're making a 23-year commitment to these communities that you're going to invest that money in that TIF district. When you take money out of that TIF, you're lying. You're violating that underlying redevelopment area because you're saying we're going to take money out of this area that was committed for 23 years to help you redevelop your property, to fix your home, to build new parks. You're taking that out. And my answer to the question on if the TIF is successful, sunset it.
That's right.
Sunset it. Bingo. If you've done what it says and the west side is looking great and things are beautiful, sunset the TIFs. Then you can get all the TIF. Then you can get all the increment. That's the answer. Sunset it.
Wait, Mr. Reenan, that was a statement, not a question. So I got, you're fine. Listen, clearly both sides of this argument are incredibly passionate about it. I have one final question just based on the notes that I took. You mentioned a deficit at CPS because of ARPA dollars. And my understanding, because we had a hearing this past summer, we talked about this. One of the things at CPS, I think the third most significant cost of CPS was like capital. And we talked about the amount of buildings that exist with not very many people in it. And I know you mentioned Rahm Emanuel and closing schools and so on. But one of the things that we learned was that there were several thousand people hired with one-time money, right? seekers in particular and others as well. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad policy to hire more individuals. That's not my point. But I'm trying to understand, when you mentioned that the deficit, which prompted the TIF sweep, was because of ARPA dollars being offset, many of those hires were based on one-time funds. And the irony is that the sweep also timed up at a time at which the Chicago Teachers Union had a new contract. And so can you help walk us through the TIF sweep and how that helped the seekers specifically versus funding the new contract? Because the seekers were hired with one-time money. Obviously, teachers are not one-time. Yeah. So just walk us through that a little bit so we can have a better understanding.
So I think what I want to clarify about ARPA is that it didn't just affect CPS. It affected a host of departments across the state.
Oh, it affected the state as well. We got that.
Okay. just want to make sure we're on the same footing here. The sweeping of money for uses, the use you're specifically talking about, was done under Superintendent Martinez, is my understanding, who is no longer. I can't speak to why that was his approach to funding those positions. I can ask CPS to give more background on that.
No, that's fair. And admittedly, it's a little bit out of your wheelhouse. I understand that. It was just when you mentioned the ARPA funds, the need to offset, and then the TIF sweep. That's why I asked the question. But I'm happy to ask CPS.
Yeah,
offline.
I think speaking from the city's general fund, we saw across departments reductions and budget deficits created by those sunsetting. So it was broader than just CPS. It did affect CPS. But every dollar went to backfill a lot of those programs.
No, that's fair. I admit it was probably out of your wheelhouse. I just heard the CPS buzzword, so I asked.
But CPS provide that.
I can certainly ask him. I'm going to go to other questions.
I was just going to say that there's a key difference, though, and I'm glad you alluded to it, that the state of Illinois and all of you, every person here in this room right now, worked responsibly to utilize ARPA funds for just one-time expenses. We did not. We were very intentional about using them exactly as they were supposed to be used. One-time expenses, and we can account for where every dollar went. The city, unfortunately, to your point, did not.
Now, I think my Republican colleagues would probably disagree with what we did with some state funds, but I'm not going to speak for them. But are there other questions? I apologize. I know I monopolized quite a few questions. Are there other questions for the committee? Spokes.
Yeah, I think a lot has been stated, and I just want to ask a couple clarifying, and I appreciate the sponsor and the comptroller bringing this forward, and I agree with just about everything that has been presented, and I appreciate the approach to the issue. When we talk, I guess this could be a question for Chicago, when we talk about the money that is swept and then reallocated, you mentioned 54% roughly annually is going to CPS, and I think you mentioned a couple others. Can you clarify, you know, the other 46% generally where that's going?
So I apologize. I pay taxes in Chicago, and on my tax bill, it breaks down, you know, each taxing body and how much of what I'm paying is going towards that. I don't have that top of mind. The two numbers I know is about 54% goes to the school system, and about 24% goes to the general fund. My understanding is about 11 it goes to the libraries. I don't have everyone,
no,
but
I'm,
I can provide that.
Maybe you're answering the question, but I'm asking the swept money. You put 54% to the schools, and so you're saying 24% to the general fund?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is, because that money is generated based on Cook County's taxing structure and the taxing body's levies, on my tax bill it lays out, of my $10,000 that I pay in taxes, it breaks down that based on that percentage. So
you're sending the swept money based off their tax breakdown?
Because we have to by law, because that's the law. It says you sweep it based on where it was originally collected for. So instead of being lopped off the top of, you know, that increment, when you take that increment out of the TIF, it has to go back in the same way it would have gone if we never had a TIF before.
I got you. So so all of the SWEP funds are being divvied up based off the government
every year when a agencies.
Sweep okay.
Representative,
yeah,
it's 23% for the city, 55% for schools, about 14% for the county, 7% more or less for park districts, and the rest to other taxing bodies. And that's what's so brutally irresponsible about taking money out of a TIF to only be able to take a small percentage of it for your own purposes. I mean, think about Bronzeville, which really needs economic development. Their money could be going to Barrington, which isn't even in the city of Chicago.
When you say it's going to Barrington in that example,
theoretically, because it's in the county. So the county, for example, passed a balanced budget, and then they got another $140 million they didn't even ask for.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And so,
what percentage is the county roughly?
14%.
14%, okay. All right, thanks for reminding me. It's been a while since I've dug into all the different TIF laws. I appreciate that. I had forgotten that's how that sweep works. So I guess, you know, one question I've got is, if this is a consistent and regular practice, and somebody mentioned this, you know, so for those TIFs that aren't being utilized or they're being swept, you know, why aren't we just closing them down and wrapping them up?
Again, I want to be clear. TIFs are not swept to zero. There are some TIFs that perform very slowly, like in neighborhoods that do not have a year-over-year increment, unless we do investment, so there is a point for economic development. But we have TIFs mostly north of North Avenue in Chicago that generate far more than the number of projects we could ever put up in a five-year period. So we are able to do the projects we need. We port money from the higher income TIFs that go into the system down in the south and west. That has been a shift under the Lightfoot administration, and that this administration has continued to do exactly what the opponents are looking for. We agree this money should, when possible, stay within the system. But when there are not shovel-ready projects that encumber the funds, it is that additional money, that extra money that would just be sitting there. Why wouldn't you want it to go to offset budget deficit or other uses within our taxing bodies?
Well, the money could grow to be a larger project. Well,
but
once they're swept,
again,
it's gone.
$20 billion across Cook County and $1.6 billion each year in Chicago.
All right. And so the downtown TIF, hold on, we'll get to you. The downtown TIF, I think you stated the number. How much does that generate?
I didn't state a specific number for downtown. I'm happy to get you.
Do you have the number roughly?
Yeah, so the if you're just looking at the LaSalle Street TIF, LaSalle Street TIF last year, LaSalle Central generated $125 million in TIF. That was the
okay, and we have 1.6 roughly that's generated in TIF, a billion is swept.
Yep.
And so what's one or two of the other larger ones?
There's the Kinsey TIF, which is kind of the Fulton Market area. Yeah, I mean, there's the.
Is that $100 million also?
That's about $85 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's.
I'm just
West
looking for a flavor to quote the chair, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So let me just drill into one example, and I'll wrap up my questioning. So with Englewood, so it's back to the comptroller and your testimony. Give me an example. What's going on in that TIF district? Is what's being produced? What's been swept? And then I'll have a follow up question.
Yeah. So Englewood. See here, the Englewood neighborhood TIF generated about $8.6 million, and they surplused $6.6 million out of Englewood. $6.6 million out of a community that needs...
Swept 6.6.
Swept. It generated 8.6. They swept 6.6.
What year was it?
That was last year, 2025. So here's the...
Well, hold on. Give me a rough idea of the Englewood neighborhood, average income.
Average income's about $30,000.
Okay. Is there some needs there for redevelopment?
I would think so. I mean, if you...
I'm being facetious. Right. I kind of know the area.
If you just apply this to housing, and let's say you're subsidizing housing at $200,000 a unit, that would create... That $8.6 million would create 120 new homes. I mean, that just right there. I mean, and are you telling me that there's not need or desire for that?
So give me a little more content just on that one. So that was last year. Has this happened the last
several?
It's happened
the last 10 years. This has been a consistent.
Every year for the last 10
years. There's
been surplus
every 10 years. Now, it's grown to, like, a proportion that we've never seen in the last 3 years. Like, It was 700.
Inglewood has?
Well,
I just want to focus on this one example in my question.
Oh, no, they've been pulling money out of Inglewood, probably not for the last 10 years. It's been the last probably 4 or 5.
Several years. Yeah. And let's, you know, just for argument's sake, it's probably $5 to $6 million every year they've pulled out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'll just make a comment and wrap mine up. And so that's a huge problem. So you do have an area that you could gather surplus, and by rough math, you could have $20 to $30 million. That could then be used to bond a project or multiple projects in a neighborhood, and the city is just deciding that we're just going to pull money out of there and redistribute it, and that's not the purpose of the TIF district.
Right.
You know, it's for redevelopment, and I'm sure you've got a couple examples, like maybe LaSalle, where we don't really have a need for projects, that TIF should probably be shut down. It sounds like a crazy system, and it does not sound like a good way to practically budget. And then again, I firmly believe this testimony, and there's probably multiple examples of that. These are neighborhoods that should be being invested in. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Can I just add one more thing? It's
going to be brief because my vice chair is about to beat me up for not recognizing her before Sosnowski, and I apologize.
So here's a nuance that I think you need to understand. When you close a TIF or sunset a TIF, that money goes back to the taxing bodies and is subject to the PTEL. Okay? So it's not in the property tax cap. So it's not in their best interest to sunset TIFs because they can, by surplusing it, they can bypass the PTAP. So as the comptroller said, $25 million was the max that the Board of Ed could go last year. They got $550 million outside of the cap because they surplus TIFs. This is a big, big problem. I mean, they're basically violating the property tax cap by surplusing TIFs. So there's very little incentive to sunset or close TIFs early.
Vice Chair Mayfield, my apologies.
Thank you so much. First and foremost, let me state that I don't want this in any omnibus package. I want to make sure I put that on the record. I am not a proponent of TIFs at all, never have been. I've been asking for TIF reform, TIF transparency for the longest. I'm going to refile my bills so we can maybe have some subject matter hearings here. We definitely have some issues. First and foremost, I believe in local control. So I do not want to take local control away from any municipality. I do think that maybe we can add some structure to how they are sweeping these TIFs and how the funds are being used. I commend you for putting the money back into the taxing bodies, regardless of where that taxing body is, because that was money that they would not have had. We had the example of the park. I'm very happy that a park district was able to upgrade equipment for our children, regardless of whether it was 2 cents, 5 cents, or a dollar. The fact that you upgraded a park, that was money that they should have had initially, you know, that they would have had but for the TIF district. So anytime we can put money back into a community should never be said that it was wasteful spending, because I think it was good spending to put money back, particularly in our park districts that are underfunded. Our parks need more money. You know, no, don't.
Okay,
not asking for a rebuttal. Thank you. Additionally, we use the example of Inglewood. I think that when the city is looking at sweeping, they should maybe not do a total sweep, but look at areas where they do need to let that surplus build for investment purposes. We had a testimony earlier where we were talking about from, I believe it was the Housing Action Illinois, where money is needed for affordable housing and to support individuals moving into supportive housing. If you have these type of large balances, you know, maybe we can look at directing some of those funds into these community initiatives where we know that there is a direct need to the community. So just want to look at just doing some things. My biggest thing, though, is that I do not want this in any omnibus package. I think that we need more work on this particular piece of legislation, looking at these TIF issues. To Madam Controller, you've been in office several years. This should have been an issue for you years ago, not this particular year. So I'm not sure why it's just now coming up when TIFs has been under your purview for quite some time. I've got a problem with TIFs across the board, got a problem with these sweeps, with how they're being utilized. We definitely need to look at what you're sweeping, where you're sweeping, and some other things. So I think there's some opportunities here to maybe tighten up the TIFs and to tighten up the sweeps so that they are not negatively affecting our most vulnerable communities.
Chair, can I offer one thing that may...
I'm going to give everybody one parting shot, except for Brad Cole, because he's not up here anymore. But let me say this. Obviously, this is a topic that, again, there's a lot of passion on both sides of it. It certainly seems to me like this is one of those things we're going to continue to talk about over the summer, I would imagine. But I do think it's a worthwhile endeavor to have this conversation across the board. And I think that we need to do something. Is it exactly what this bill lays out? It sounds like there's not consensus on that. But I don't want to speak for anybody, but I would imagine that everybody at the table feels like something should be done. We should have some further conversation. And I'm going to put you on the spot, Mr. Arena, and ask you, are you willing to have that conversation offline? Not saying it to back you into a position, but is the city willing to continue to talk about this issue? And maybe we come together holding hands, singing Kumbaya at some moment with some kind of a tweak. So I'll let you have the first part of the shot. We'll make our way down to Madam Comptroller, unless Leader Rita has anything he wants to say.
Well, I won't be doing the singing because I don't have the voice for it, but I'm happy to work with this body in any way possible to gain clarity of what we're doing and what we can do better. To Vice Chair Mayfield's point, I have worked with TIFs for a long time, struggled with the Emanuel administration and how they implemented it, and the very issues that are being discussed here that are brought up by the opposition are salient. We want to invest in the right place at the right time, and that's the nuance here. I think what I would be able to offer that might kind of level set where we are is Department of Planning and Development has a criteria that they run every TIF through to determine how much is swept year to year. It is not, again, as I've said, not zero. It is based on a fixed criteria that is policy. So if I provide that through the chair, that might give us some level of where we are, and then we can build off of that.
That would be incredibly helpful. Mr. Doak?
I really have no further comments, and I'll cede my time to the Comptroller.
Thank you, David.
Madam Comptroller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Representative Mayfield, I appreciate your comments. I think we both want the same thing, which is to make sure that our taxing bodies get the resources that they need. I think where we differ, and I just want to, for clarification here, I'm thrilled that park districts get funding. I was a product of them. What I want to make sure is that we're able to utilize the full amount of a TIF dollar for repairs and improvements to our park districts. I think it really is financially irresponsible to take a dollar out of a TIF district to use it in a different park district and only get 7 cents on that dollar. So maybe it would be looking at ways that if we're going to port from one area to a non-TIF district, that we would be able to, under certain circumstances, take the full value of that for specific projects. So that helps everybody. We should all agree that getting 100% of a dollar is better than getting 7 cents on the dollar. So, but we're all on the same page of wanting to help park districts, schools, those things. Right now, if a school in one of those TIF districts that's been swept gets a leak in the roof, I hope they have a bucket, because once that money's spent, it's gone, and those families and those schools don't have the resources that they need. Lastly, you did ask, why am I talking about this now? Just for the record, I have been a proponent and a champion of TIF reform over the years, have passed legislation on this issue just a few years ago with Representative, forgive me, I forgot. It starts with a C, and I'm having I don't remember the name, but who was it? You forgot too, see? All right. But also, Senator Gillespie carried it for me. We've really been trying to get TIF reform and transparency, and I have been very vocal against sweeping funds. But this has gone from $170 million that were swept to then hundreds of millions of dollars being swept to now over $1 billion, now close to $4 billion over the last 4 years or 10 years. This needs to stop. It's an abuse. We need to make sure that these resources are going for their intended purposes. And by the way, this doesn't just affect Chicago. When we are limiting our economic potential and our growth of our city, we're also hurting the state of Illinois' tax base. Because every time we get one of these businesses up and running or economic engines going hard, that money, the property taxes, sure, they stay in that district for 23 years, or from whenever the point that TIF is created. We have 23 years to generate that revenue. But the sales taxes that come along with these increased businesses go to the state of Illinois as well. So we all lose when these TIF funds are swept, but most importantly, the communities who need that economic development the most. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you all. A man of many words, Leader Rita.
We had a good debate here, Mr. Chairman, and from what I've heard here and or from you is we're going to continue to talk, but you know, let's bring it, we went way out. Let's look at and define what TIF districts were intended to do and how the money is being used in them. Again, I represent a lot of these areas in the south side of Chicago, and in particular what he mentioned in that Pullman area, and in the south suburbs, that are blighted and could use development, use TIF districts to spur growth, and by what we're trying to do is tighten it up, is what your vice chair said, is by limiting the amount of the time, you know, not every year could sweep stuff. We're not saying you can't sweep it. It's about tightening up and going back to what the original use of what a TIF district and TIF funds are supposed to be used for. And we'll continue them conversations, as you know I will, and to do what's right for the state of Illinois.
No, I certainly appreciate that. And my commitment is myself and our staff will look to pull the legislative intent, share with everybody, proponents, opponents, entire committee, because it doesn't seem like this is an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. And we all owe it to taxpayers to at least start from the framework of what was the original intent and work our way from there. So thank you all. Certainly appreciate it. Next up,
thank
we have the
yeah,
absolutely the ever-patient Representative Vella with a topic that might be a little less riveting.
For the record, it was Representative Carroll.
Oh, Carroll. Gotcha. No problem.